Bürokarte, alles mal.
Things have wheels.
Okay.
They just have brakes. Take off and fly across the room. How many Hare Krishnas does it take? Okay, we got one.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivana Dhari, Jasoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Rangana, Jasoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Rangana, Jamuna Tira Vanachari, Jamuna Tira Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Gopi Jana Jaya Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivana Dhari, Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Rangana, Jasoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Rangana, Jamuna Tira Vanachari, Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. Welcome to the Sunday feast. Honored to be here after a long time. Hare Krishna. Let's first offer respect. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So the topic today is going to be balance. And I'm just going to read a text from the Bhagavad Gita. The text is 6th chapter, 17th verse. And we won't chant it, the verse. I'm just going to read the verse and then the purport. And then we'll have a little discussion. He was regulated in his habits of eating, sleeping, recreation, and work. Can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system, purport. Extravagance in the matter of eating, sleeping, defending, and mating, which are demands of the body, can block advancement in the practice of yoga. As far as eating is concerned, it can be regulated only when one is practiced to take and accept prasadam, sanctified food. Lord Krishna is offered, according to Bhagavad Gita 9:26, vegetables, flowers, fruits, grains, milk, etc. In this way, a person in Krishna consciousness becomes automatically trained not to accept food not meant for human consumption or not in the category of goodness. As far as sleeping is concerned, a Krishna conscious person is always alert in the discharge of his duties in Krishna consciousness, and therefore any unnecessary time spent sleeping is considered a great loss. Avyarta kalatvam. A Krishna conscious person cannot bear to pass a minute of his life without being engaged in the service of the Lord. Therefore, his sleeping is kept to a minimum. Therefore, his sleeping is kept to a minimum. His ideal is, in this respect, is Srila Rupa Goswami, who was always engaged in the service of Krishna and could not sleep more than 2 hours a day, and sometimes not even that. Thakur Haridas would not even accept prasadam, nor even sleep for a moment without finishing his daily routine of chanting with his beads 300,000 names. As far as work is concerned, a Krishna conscious person does not do anything which is not connected with Krishna's interests, and thus his work is always regulated and is untainted by sense gratification. Since there is no question of sense gratification, there is no material leisure for a person in Krishna consciousness. And because he is regulated in all his work, speech, sleep, wakefulness, and all other bodily activities, there is no material misery for him. So it's a pretty high standard that Srila Prabhupada gives in that purport. And as I look at my life, I see, and I'm sure all of you have a similar experience, that there's so many things you want to do. And you want to be good at, you want to be a good parent, you want to be a good husband or wife, you want to be a good devotee, good servant of your spiritual master. You might, you want to give good classes. For me, I want to help ISKCON globally. I want to help my local temple. I want to be healthy. I have to take care of that. And as you get older, that takes more and more of your time. And so there's so many things that we want to do, and we need to balance them. It's kind of like juggling, you know. You have all these things, and you have to juggle them. And if you miss one thing, then all the balls start to fall. I write, I've mentioned a few times that I write letters for Krishna.com, and one of the most common questions that we get is, how do I balance my material and my spiritual life? I have to work, and I have so many responsibilities. So how do I balance these things? So in the material world, generally speaking, our success is measured by material results. What do we get? What can I have? How many toys do I have? Or how much money do I make? And the stress that comes from working very, very hard to achieve that kind of success, and that success is entangled in a lot of things. It's entangled in what people think of me, because they think of me as being better, a better person, if I have a lot more money or if I have a lot more things. So that self-esteem is kind of wrapped up in my success by achieving a lot materially, of accumulating a lot materially. But in the material world, that has a toll, a very heavy toll. There are statistics which indicate that over two-thirds of the people in the United States of America seek some kind of help to deal with stress, to deal with mental anxiety. And one half of those people, or not one half, sorry, one in four, one quarter of people have a diagnosed mental illness that is somewhat stress related. So we're always finding ourselves in this dilemma of balancing the material needs that we perceive that we have, which are wrapped up in with so many unnecessary packages, packaging, bows and bells and whistles that tell us we have to succeed, we have to produce. And then we're devotees. So we have our spiritual needs too. And they're very demanding also, right? We're supposed to chant a certain number of rounds every day. Haridas Thakur, Prabhupada explains in the purport, he wouldn't sleep until he chanted 300,000 names of Krishna every day. And we do a lot of things very early in the morning, rise and worship the Lord. And then we're supposed to read every day. And we want to associate with devotees. It's very important to us that we associate with devotees. And that we gather together in glorifying the holy name. So we have so many festivals, because that's also important to us, that we share our Krishna consciousness with others. So we have those obligations. And then on top of that, we have our family obligations. We have children. We have to raise them. We have to educate them. We have to take care of them physically, mentally, spiritually. We have to raise them to be balanced, what to speak of ourselves to be balanced. So these are very, very difficult. It's a very difficult thing to do, balancing our lives. And so in Bhagavad Gita, even, Krishna says, give up everything and just surrender to me, and I'll take care of everything. And probably at the beginning of our Krishna consciousness movement, this was the number one misconception that kind of screwed everything up. Is that we didn't know how to do that. And we tried to do it beyond our readiness, beyond our readiness. I was listening to some seminars on finding balance. And the example that was given was the Avanti Brahmana. You know, the Avanti Brahmana, he's laying like a python across the road and learning from all these different living entities, snakes and dogs and all kinds of animals and trees, and he learns from the bumblebees, so many things he learns. But he doesn't do anything to make a living. He just lays there. It didn't used to be like that. He used to be quite a big, successful businessman. But he lost everything. That happens. Money talks and it often says goodbye. So he lost everything. And then he found that his family didn't like him anymore, his friends didn't like him anymore. And so seeing the material world, having a realization about the nature of material happiness, he left everything. And he just took to a very renounced way of life. And it wasn't easy either. He took to that renounced way of life, people misused him, they treated him badly, they made fun of him, because he wasn't a very nice businessman. He was kind of like an Uncle Scrooge type fellow. And so many people had very ill feelings towards him because he didn't treat people nicely. And so they misused him in many ways. They abused him in many ways. But he was determined. He was determined to take shelter of Krishna. And so he just renounced everything. And we wanted to do that. Sometimes when we join the Hare Krishna movement, we feel that urge to just kind of give it all up, get rid of it all. And but it's not as easy as that. It's quite complicated because we have dependents and we have responsibilities, and we're not ready. We're not renounced like the Avanti Brahmana was. We're not really able to just walk away from the material world cold turkey and just be Krishna conscious and be happy and peaceful and satisfied. So we have to find a balance, and the balance comes not so easily. There are, for the sake of discussion, we can look at the things that need to be balanced in three categories. The category of the head, our intelligence, our intellect, the needs of our mind need to be satisfied. Our heart, our emotional, our relationship, our spiritual needs, they need to be satisfied. And our hands, what we do, work, we have to produce something, that also has to be satisfied. So we have to find a balance between the head, the heart, and the hands. And when in the material world as it exists now, the hands, the work, the product of work, is very much in in the forefront. And so when we can't handle it anymore, we say, it's out of my hands, right? I can't handle it anymore. And then we're so stressed out because it's out of our hands. We can't deal with it with our hands. And we're not clear with our heart or with our intellect what we really want. For devotees, we need to go to that place, especially the heart place. We need to go to the heart place and we need to find out what is our core value. Because we may find that our core value, hopefully we'll find, that our core value is very different than those people out there who are so stressed out and are working day and night like mudhas. We have a different core value. And if we're not careful, we get caught up in that same kind of machinery that sucks us in to this idea that we need more money, we need more things, we need to sell more things, buy more things, move things along, accumulate more things. And we get more things. I've seen it even myself, where somehow or other you never have an empty shelf for very long, right? If there's an empty space, an empty table, an empty shelf in your place, somehow or other it gets filled with stuff. And then when that thing gets too full, then you move that out and then you get a shed and you start filling the shed. And then after a while that shed's full, you need another shed or a bigger shed. And it just somehow or other, it comes. You don't know where it came from. You don't know what you used it for. You haven't thought about it for 2 years, but you think, I might need it, so I better keep it. And so we get these things, and then we have to maintain them. And they, instead of us controlling them, they begin to control us. And so we have to be very careful that we're considering. I was listening to a talk by Radhika Raman Prabhu. I don't know how many of you know Radhika Raman Prabhu, but he was the child prodigy that graduated college when he was 21, got a PhD when he was 21, and he became a university professor. And he was teaching at UF, and he tried to get into the faculty library, and they wouldn't let him in because they thought he was a student. He was so young. He had to prove to them that he was actually a teacher because he was so qualified at such a young age. So he was speaking about how he was homeschooled most of his life until he actually went to college and university, and then he graduated Oxford, and now he's a professor. So in his professorness, you have to publish or die, right? As a professor, you have to publish or die. And he goes to these conferences, and people are all talking about all these different books and all the different angles of vision because he's a religion professor. So they're all talking about different studies of religion. And he says at first, when he's hearing them, the anxiety in his head builds up. I don't know all these things. I haven't read those books. I haven't read that book. And he starts writing down all these different things that he needs to do. And he starts getting an anxiety because he's talking to all these big men in his field. And all of them have millions of letters after their name. And they're all famous. And they're striving to get more and more famous and publish more and more. And then he gets a grip on it. And he thinks, I got to get out of here for a minute. I got to just take a walk. And he takes a walk, and during that time, either figuratively or practically takes a walk, he's looking inside the core. Do I really want to be like these people? Is what they're striving for, does that really matter to me? Is that really where I want to put my energy? Do I care? Do I care if I have a big name? Do I care if I'm famous? Do I care if I just really want to kind of have a job and take care of the basic needs of my family. I'm not willing to sacrifice my 2 hours of peaceful japa. I'm not willing to sacrifice my reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam every day. I'm not willing to sacrifice my association with devotees. I'm not willing to sacrifice my peace of mind to get caught in this vortex of pretending that these things are going to give me the happiness that I'm looking for. And so I have to reassess myself. I have to hold myself back. And then I get centered, and I realize what my real goals are, and then I can go back into the conference and interact with everybody, and it's okay, you're saying. Because otherwise, if you don't center yourself, if you don't catch yourself getting sucked in, the material world is such a heavy place, And all the messages are telling you, be a materialist, be a materialist, be a materialist, be a materialist. Only Prabhupada's purports are giving you information about spiritual life. Only Krishna's words are giving you information about spiritual life. And if you don't come in contact with them on a regular basis, when you're balancing all those balls around, if you let that ball drop of daily reading and keeping in contact with the real goal of your life, then you'll become confused. And you'll become in anxiety because you'll feel like you're inadequate or you're not achieving enough or you're not being in the top whatever bracket. You're not reaching your full potential. But your full potential is that you're back in Goloka Vrindavan playing with Krishna. That's your full potential. All this other stuff, it's no potential. And so we have to do it. We have to do what we have to do, but we have to do it in the right consciousness. So a devotee, when they're engaged in their activities, their consciousness, their heart is focused on the goal of their life. And because their heart is focused on the goal of the life, the head and the hands, they go along with. There's a nice little kind of a parable about three people who were laying bricks. And so somebody comes over and decides they're going to talk to these three people, comes over to the first man, and he says, "What are you doing?" And the guy responds, "What do you mean, what am I doing, you idiot? Look at, what do you think I'm doing? I'm laying bricks. This is bricks, this is mortar, and your brain must be as thick as a brick because you don't understand that I'm laying bricks. I'm putting bricks on, so get lost." So he goes away. And then he asks the second person, "What are you doing?" And he says, "Well, I'm laying bricks, but it's my job, you know, and I'm making money, and with the money I have to support my family. So this is my job, and I'm grateful to have it. It's a little difficult. It's not a whole lot of fun, but it's what I have to do, and it takes care of business." And then he goes to the third person. He says, "What are you doing?" And the third person says, "I'm so glad you asked." He says, "Because what I'm doing is I'm laying bricks to build a temple. And it's very, very special because I feel like I'm contributing to the welfare of the world, because eventually this temple will be built and people will come here and they'll get an opportunity to worship God. And not only that, but my children will come here. And maybe when they get older, they'll become inspired by what I did, that I contributed to the building of this temple. And they'll also contribute to the temple in the future. And so they'll make benefit, and their children and my grandchildren, they'll also benefit. So I'm very grateful to have this little bit of service, laying bricks and helping to build this temple." So you've got three people, all of them doing the same thing, probably standing right next to each other. But because the core value is different in the devotee, you see that his attitude towards what he's doing is different. So it may look the same on the surface, but internally, it's a very different thing. And that's how we find our balance. We find our balance by considering carefully what our core value is, reconsidering it regularly, what our core value is, and then centering everything around that, connecting everything to that, not becoming diverted to think that what I do with my hands is the most important thing, or that I excel in the minds and hearts of other people, that's the most important thing. We have to assess who we're trying to please and what will please them, what will please Krishna. I remember there was a gathering of Sankirtan devotees, even Sankirtan, book distribution, in Atlanta. And they were all there, so many people from the East Coast. And they asked Srila Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, what will please you the most?" And everyone was expecting Prabhupada to say, "Book distribution." And Prabhupada said, "Become Krishna conscious." So the ultimate goal of our lives is to become Krishna conscious. Everything else is a means to that end. Not only a means to our becoming Krishna conscious, but in helping as many people become Krishna conscious as possible. So, and in doing that, we have to keep analyzing ourselves. So it's like kind of like one analogy is like riding a bicycle. When you ride a bicycle, you have to stay straight, right? When you ride a bike, if you space out or you lean too far one way or the other, you'll fall over. But you're not really necessarily conscious of it every moment, but you're constantly making little adjustments to stay, you know, balanced no matter what the terrain is. And as you go on the terrain, you can constantly adjusting your balance. So our being balanced in life is like that. It's not like you find your balance and then there you are, you're balanced, haribol, you just go on and do it every day. Because life throws things at you, right? One minute you're healthy, the next minute maybe you're not so healthy. And so then there's a whole bunch of stuff you got to do to stay healthy. And that's added to the other things. And then your children are getting older, their demands are different. You have to take them to this game and that game and this whatever, this event and that event. And then you want to do what you know, the things that please you. You may have certain skills that you want to offer. You're an artist or you're a farmer or you're sowing for the deities or you're doing a garden. You want to do those things. And you have your work. And we have some community members here who drive all the way to Jacksonville every single day and back because their job is in Jacksonville, but they want their children to go to school here in Alachua. So they're so dedicated that every day they drive back and forth to Jacksonville so their kids can go to school here. Very big sacrifice. So that's makes your balance shake a little, doesn't it? Right? That you have that thing going on because you have a responsibility. Part of your obligation is to take care of your children. So to take care of your children, you have to drive, you know, like that. And even here at least you drive for an hour and a half and there's no cars on the road practically. Try it in New Jersey or New York. There you'll drive for 2 hours and you'll be bumper-to-bumper traffic. It would take you 20 minutes to drive if there was no traffic. It takes you 2 hours because there's so many cars on the road. So there's many, many different things that enter, and they change. They change constantly. So we have to keep reassessing. We have to keep refocusing. We have to keep rebalancing. And we also have to understand that our balance, our place of balance, may not be the same as everyone else's balance. So we don't have to look at everybody else and see if they're balanced or not. We have to figure out our balance. Sometimes it's compared to like making a soup or making khichdi, right? So there's many ingredients in khichdi or soup. But if I put the same amount of ingredients, of all the ingredients in, it won't be edible, right? If I put the same amount of salt in as I put carrots in, it won't work. I have to put a little bit of salt or the right amount of salt, the right amount of carrots, the right amount of water, the right amount of potatoes. As I'm putting it together, the right amount of rice, the right amount of dal, it all has to be balanced according to the need of the preparation that I'm making. There's no one balance that works all the time. So according to the need that I have at that moment, I have to find the appropriate balance. And so it is in our lives, that as we go through our lives change, and the things that we need to balance, changed by circumstances beyond our control. And so we have to keep reassessing and readjusting and maintaining the appropriate balance. So this need to find balance in our lives will lead us to be able to achieve pure devotional service. Without finding the appropriate balance at any given time in our life, we won't be able to focus on Krishna. Just think for a few minutes, like trying to chant your rounds. If the seat's not comfortable, if it's too hot, if your clothes are on too tight, if someone's chanting really loudly next to you, and you kind of catch it and it stays in your head, and then you can't hear your own Hare Krishna because you're hearing somebody else's Hare Krishna, or if you're lucky, Hare Krishna, and if not, something else. So there's different things that will throw us off if we're not very, very careful. So, and in order to be able to tolerate those things and kind of roll with the punches, we have to be able to be strong in ourselves. We have to be able to be fixed in our core value that we want to go back to Godhead in this lifetime. And we're so determined to do that, that anything that we have to do or fix or change in order to achieve that goal, we will do it. We will do it. And so we will try to make all the levels of our lives appropriately adjusted so that we can achieve our success. And Srila Prabhupada here, he talks about basically the four regular principles. He talks about the different needs of the body, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and recreation. And one of the things he says here is that there's no such thing as Krishna conscious recreation. Thank you. But in another way, there is Krishna conscious recreation. And Prabhupada said that everything in Krishna consciousness is recreation, right? Every day is a festival. There's the chanting of the holy name. It's a lot of fun. And we do many things with the devotees that are a lot of fun. And it's not that we have to be unattractive, even materially, that a life of a devotee has to appear to be unnecessarily austere. There's a conception in some spiritual traditions that in order to make advancement in spiritual life, you have to torture the body, or you have to suffer. The material body has to suffer. And so by that suffering, you become strong and you become detached from the material body. And so that conception comes in our consciousness sometimes, that the people who are really advanced, they are like prunes. You know, they never smile, they never laugh, they're just like rigid in their spiritual life. I know, I used to think that way, but now I understand, and from watching Srila Prabhupada and so many other senior devotees, that it's not like that. The devotees laugh and they have wonderful times together and they do things that are ecstatic. Even Lord Chaitanya had splashing pastimes with his friends in the Ganges. So we can have everything that we need within the context of association of devotees. Everything that we need to be peaceful and happy and satisfied materially and spiritually is available in the process that Srila Prabhupada gave us. We never have to venture outside of that. And so we should be careful. We should be very careful not to become confused and start to think that something we need is not available within the context of the association of devotees, within the context of the practice of Krishna consciousness. And we should try to not only promote a balanced life for ourselves, but a balanced life for others. When we preach Krishna consciousness, when we give Krishna consciousness to others, we should show other people how to find a balanced and peaceful life in Krishna consciousness. But at the same time, not becoming overly affected by the messages that are coming from the mundane world, because those messages will cause us to work for the wrong reason. And it will cause us to think that we don't have time for spiritual life. And that's what will happen. We see it again and again, that devotees stop chanting their rounds, or they stop reading, or they stop doing any one of a number of things, thinking they don't have time because they have too many things to do. But what we do depends on our core value, where the heart is. The priorities that we put forward in our life will adjust what we do. And Prabhupada encouraged us over and over again to live simply. To live simply and not think that accumulating material things or having a bigger, better front will make us a better person or make us spiritually powerful. On the contrary, it will detract from our ability to make spiritual advancement. So this idea of balance is an extremely important aspect of our spiritual life, and we should honor it in ourselves, allow ourselves to be balanced in our practice of Krishna consciousness, allow ourselves to have alone time, to have recreational time with devotees in a Krishna conscious way, to have time to contemplate and meditate on our purpose in life. We should allow ourselves to have deep friendships, deep relationships, to do what we have to do with our family, to spend time with our children and our family members. We should have time to practice Krishna consciousness also, to do the core things that Prabhupada gave us to make our spiritual lives grow. And then as we progress in spiritual life, we'll find that our needs and our tastes become less and less affected by material things. We become less enamored or less entangled in the material sphere. And we can give those things up naturally. It's not like we have to give them up artificially. Prabhupada uses the term even in this purport. He says, Krishna consciousness becomes automatically trained. A Krishna conscious person becomes automatically trained. In many places, Prabhupada uses that word automatically. It makes you feel like you don't need to do anything. You just sit there and it's going to go zap. Someone's going to come with a wand and you're going to automatically be. But it's more like organically. By taking up the process of Krishna consciousness, the heart becomes pure. And as the heart becomes pure, what is to be done becomes obvious. Krishna from within the heart, he tells us from within our heart, he gives us knowledge by which we can come to him. What to do, how to make the decisions that we need to make in life become revealed to us by the Lord in the heart as we make spiritual advancements. So if we have the focus and the faith to understand, one nice thing I learned today is that the word Shraddha means where the heart is, where the heart is focused. That where the heart is focused, that's where we have faith, right? So developing Shraddha, a firm faith in Krishna, and putting our heart in Krishna will allow us to be able to make the appropriate choices, the appropriate decisions, and nourish ourselves spiritually and materially in an appropriate way so that we can be happy both materially and spiritually in this life. So I'll stop there, and if there's any questions, maybe we can have some discussion. Yes, Leela Nanda Prabhu. And thank you. Leela Nanda Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Oh, yeah, there it is. Yeah, turn it on. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Not working? There's another mic there. Yes. That's a loaded question, and I'm gonna answer it in a loaded way. Well, for instance, you could go on Vrindavan Parikrama. I've seen in Vrindavan Parikrama the devotees wrestling and having a lot of fun in the sands of Vrindavan, also in Mayapur. But Prabhupada said that when he was young, he played kit-kit. He described how people would run after each other and you had to chant the name of Krishna all the time. And if you stopped even for a second, then you could be touched. And if you were touched, then you got out. So we have to think of ways. I know amongst the ladies, sometimes we do charades and other activities where we remember the pastimes of Krishna and act out the pastimes of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya was very fond of drama. So, and Prabhupada describes that in previous time, drama was very popular. People would come in the town in the evening, and they would watch dramas, and that's how they would learn the culture. So that entertainment was very very powerful way of engaging the mind and the senses, and you know, for young people, their sports. The thing is to keep away from competition. Competition makes sport frivolous because then one becomes very obsessed with what's going on. And it becomes a source of division rather than unity. So we want to keep away from competition. But people do yoga all the time. People are doing yoga. So many devotees are doing yoga exercises to keep the body fit. So there's a lot of different opportunities like that also. Dance. Devotees are dancing and learning to dance together. So, yeah. But Prabhupada wanted it all centered around Krishna. And so we should do that. We should try to keep Krishna in the center. Hare Krishna. Bhakti Charles. Is there a mic that's working? I don't know if the mic is working. It's not working. I have to just shout. Yeah, huh? Some people may do that. To take simple jobs and not bother with... there's many devotees, and not only devotees, there are many people who just get tired of the rat race, as they call it, and they just want enough to keep body and soul together. And that would be the ideal situation, that we just... Sometimes keeping body and soul together can be complicated, however. You have a lot, you know, if you have multiple children or you're living somewhere where the cost of living is high, it can be quite complicated just to keep body and soul together in this day and age. Yes? Hare Krishna. Here's the mic. Well, I'm not sure I completely understand your question. I understand your statement. Is it a question or is it just a statement? Okay. So yeah, we should understand that ultimately we just do what we can do. Krishna does the rest. Anybody from this side of the temple room? Where? Oh, okay, Akasi. Well, of course, as we get old, that's why I said that it has to be constantly readjusted. As we go through our life, we see that certain things need to be removed, other things will be added, children will grow and they'll leave our lives, and then grandchildren will come and they'll come into our lives. And so many, many different things will throughout our life will happen, and our responsibility ultimately is to be Krishna conscious. Of course, we also understand that, you know, when the end of our life is, we don't really know. But so we want to keep Krishna in the center of our life all the time, and the Krishna in the center of everything all the time. But gradually, if we live a long life, we'll find that we're not able, unless you're a kuti, to do... you know, so many things. So you may, you know, things will scroll off the screen and more devotional practice will take our life, take care. But also there is something to be said that in our lives, what we do, whatever it is we're doing, is devotional practice. Just like that person who was building the temple and he saw his bricklaying as devotional practice. Prabhupada, right up until the very end, was translating books, was preaching to us, was trying to organize the Hare Krishna movement. And although he said repeatedly that he wanted to get out of management, somehow or other, didn't happen. So a devotee tries to weave Krishna consciousness through everything that they do. So whatever we do, it becomes a devotional practice if we can keep our consciousness fixed on Krishna. Anybody else? Yes, Leelananda Prabhu. We got a mic now. Who? Oh, Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, I was thinking that when you mentioned that devotee should always fix his mind on Krishna when he's doing any other duties,
mm-hmm.
it seems that one has to be very advanced to do that. And and in the beginning, because we have so many desires, so maybe one is doing out of other desires than desiring to please Krishna. So would that still be considered as devotional service, or would that become like
what happens is our desires are mixed, right? Because we're devotees, we want to be devotees of Krishna. So what we do, if we try to keep our spiritual practices strong, no matter what else we're doing, then our desires may be somewhat mixed. But as we practice, then the mixture will become more and more saturated with the desire to please Krishna. When Krishna told Arjuna, Arjuna was a warrior, and he wanted to just say, listen, I just want to hear and chant. Forget this fighting stuff. But Krishna told him, no, you can't do that. Your duty is that you have to fight. But he didn't just tell him to fight. He told him to fight and think of me. And then he also said, whatever you do, whatever you offer, whatever you give away, do it as an offering to me. So these two things thinking of Krishna, trying as best we can to think of Krishna while we're doing our service, and at the same time doing everything as an offering to Krishna, taking some of the fruit of our activity, either financially or in terms of product, and making it an offering to Krishna. In those two ways, we can purify not only what it is that we're doing, but we purify our consciousness, and our consciousness becomes more and more saturated with Krishna's service. So we try to think of Krishna with whatever we do, and we try to make an offering of some aspect of our action to Krishna every time we perform an action. Hare Krishna. Anybody else? Leelananda. Hare Krishna. You going to point me to somebody else too?
I was just thinking that there are also the four varnas and four mm-hmm. ashrams. Right. And within each one of them, the balance is different.
That's right.
And although we don't emphasize much in the vanaprastha ashram, you know, the goal is to detangle from everything, from business, from family life, and gradually mm-hmm. just focus more in Krishna consciousness. And also in the material world, in the secular society, now they have a new role of the investment managers, that they help you, people that are very wealthy, very successful, they are retiring, and they want to simplify their lives. So even the karmis are thinking about this, that at the end of my
yeah,
life,
they want to simplify their life so they can hit a little ball into a cup with a stick. Very important goal they have. Right?
We don't need to. No, we don't need the investment manager. No, we have Prabhupada's philosophy.
Yeah, what do you want to do with the extra time? That's the difference there, right? But we want to take the extra time and we want to offer it to Krishna. We don't want to just hit a ball around with a stick. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Prabhupada. Huh? I want it. I need it. I just didn't have time to drink. We have to shut this off. Thank you.